I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Super Bowl Friday. The big day is coming. The weekend is here. And we have everything that you need to know to be ready for the Taylor Swift Super Bowl. Bart Scott, busy this morning on Get Up, as usual, on Fridays. Get a little break. No first take there. All we're out there in Vegas. You didn't get the invite, but still.
I appreciate that, not getting the invite.
Not right? Having a go, right?
Anybody that's ever been to a Super Bowl, this is probably the worst day. Like, it's hypey. People want to go to these little parties and all that type of stuff. Yeah, I'm talking about it. It's just too many people, man. It's too much going on.
Everybody's coming in today.
Yeah,
right?
Everybody's
what it is.
Yeah, everybody posing. You know what I'm saying? Traffic's crazy.
Oh, forget it. You can't rent a car. Like, when the All-Star game was there, it was such a disaster.
Right.
You couldn't get anywhere because there was no rental cars. The lines were super long for everything. It's fun. Vegas is fun, but not when an event like this magnitude is there.
Yeah, and if you've ever been on, in Vegas, just imagine 100,000 people trying to bottleneck into the Holland Tunnel. It's like all it takes is one person not to make a left and just sit there and pose and stand out the window for girls and you there trying to go a mile. You're looking at where you're supposed to go, but it's almost better to walk. You can see the building you're trying to go to. You're simply just trying to go across the street, but you got to go around, and it takes you an hour. You're like, bro, I could have – what am I doing?
Yeah.
Then when you get there, they tell you it's $100 billion when you get there.
That too. Yeah. Yeah. Now, hey, look, again, it's a lot of pomp and circumstance. Did you know, Vegas,
today
first time.
Today is Felony Fridays, too, by the way.
So
get ready for one of your favorite stars, either get in trouble for punching somebody, getting in a fight, inappropriate behavior.
Mm-hmm.
This is like clockwork. Remember this time last year? Who was
felony
that?
Friday.
Alvin Kamara punched somebody in the eyeball?
Yep. Right, so you're talking about NFL players who are in town.
Yep.
You know, a lot of them go in there to make some money doing all kinds of stuff, right? You guys can make some serious cash, right?
Yeah,
go in there and appearance fees and all that other stuff.
Is it Tua, stars
is
stars,
it Tua, too. Tua's hosting or part of a big EA sports party that they're doing?
All that. You got the Playboy party. You got the ESPN party. You got Sports Illustrated party.
Yeah.
And everybody tried. You got the NFLPA party, the NFL party.
So today's
party.
Felony Friday. All right.
Yep,
so
Felony Fridays.
Keep an eye on the police blotter. We'll certainly do that. But you know what I was looking at? So Vegas, it's their first Super Bowl. More than likely not the last one because it's a brand new arena or stadium, and the league will do anything. Like, again, people, whether it's the NFL, the NBA, even the NHL, like all these leagues, Major League Baseball is moving there. Vegas has become like the rich soil that everybody wants a piece of. So that makes Nevada the 11th state to host a Super Bowl. You know the last state to debut as a host for the Super Bowl?
Last one to debut?
The last new state that never hosted before hosts for the first time.
Oh, Minnesota?
No. Minnesota has hosted it twice, actually.
Wow. Detroit?
Nope. They have hosted it twice as well.
Detroit's hosted twice?
Yeah. You didn't know that? Yeah.
No.
You can't name the second time that Detroit hosted?
Well, I know the one with Jerome Bennis, but the one before that, I can't remember that one.
The one before that?
The one before that? When Jerome Bennis went home.
1982 and 2006.
Bro, I was 2 years old.
So you were 2 years old. I thought you knew everything about Detroit. All right, anyways. Right, so.
It's in my almanac. You're right. It's in my Detroit almanac.
He's supposed to learn these things. All right, I'll break the suspense. It was New Jersey.
Ah.
Yeah, it was that 2013, the Seahawks Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, Manning would regret to even remember that.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it. Yeah, that was the one. MetLife was still a brand new building, and that was the one that the last time. And they say, they call it New York metropolitan area, but when it comes to state, it's New Jersey. New York State has never hosted a Super Bowl. Think about that for a minute.
So you mean the fine people of Buffalo don't get the – well, that's not a good Super Bowl?
And the new arena – and the new stadium they're building isn't going to have a roof on it. So now you're never going to host the Super Bowl.
That's so stupid.
Like, you know what I mean?
If Minnesota let it go and said, you know what, you know, we used to be able to have the people purple eaters and all that type of stuff, and it was cool, but we can't attract nobody. We not. It's certain things we can't do in this stadium for
right,
months.
Minneapolis hosted it in '92 in the dome, right, the big Metrodome.
Yeah,
and but then just recently in 2018 they hosted it in the brand new stadium, which is gorgeous. But yeah, like it's, isn't it amazing, New York State. Think about how California's hosted it 13 times.
Well, location,
now again,
location,
weather,
location.
We understand it. Yeah, it's Southern California, you're talking about 8 times in L.A., and they're going back in 27.
I feel like
3
you
times
separate
in San Diego, by the way.
Yeah, I feel like you got to separate.
It's a state, man.
It's a state, but it's such a long state.
New York State goes all the way up to Canada.
Man, we don't count that.
What do you mean you don't count that? It's still New York State.
That is Canada.
But isn't it kind of sad? Right? We've never everybody's going to say, well, we did in New Jersey. No. That's New Jersey. New York State has never hosted a Super Bowl.
That's y'all fault y'all don't got a stadium.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Who fault is that?
No, you're right. Well, it's
– Y'all went for the cheap real estate instead of putting the stadium in Hudson Yards where it was supposed to be.
Yeah, that didn't go down. And then also when the Mets and Yankees did what they did with their new stadiums, they did not put anything on it. No roof, no nothing. So it remains that way.
Would that be the smallest?
We'll never do a Final Four. We'll never do that either.
Would that be the smallest Super Bowl? Like if Yankee Stadium only holds like 20-some thousand people?
No, it holds more than that. But yeah, it's 40-something. But you're right. They're looking for the big stadiums.
You talk about the ticket price of that thing.
Oh, my God. Right?
Like, yeah, $1 billion per ticket.
What state do you think has hosted the most?
Oh, it's definitely Florida.
Yes. Yeah.
Best weather. Listen, it's about location, location, location.
It's crazy. Miami 11 times, Tampa 5 times, and Jacksonville even hosted one that I forgot about, the 05.
That's good grass.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought Texas would have had more, but they don't. They only have 4.
It's weird. Texas weather is weird.
And Dallas, you think Jerry
Dallas,
World.
The icicle, remember?
That last debacle
where it was like the whole place was a sheet of ice?
Yes.
People couldn't get nowhere, like state of emergency.
In Louisiana, 10 times.
Yeah.
So they're right there third. Like they go back, in 25. That's two years from now?
Yeah, because that's a dome and you got Mardi Gras.
Yeah, so much going on.
All doing that same time.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Mardi Gras is the same time, is it?
Huh?
It's not really the same time.
Well, Mardi Gras just happened, right? If I'm correct. Like, it's usually around the Senior Bowl.
Mardi Gras?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mardi Gras started in Alabama, in Mobile.
Right.
So, like, but it's celebrated during the same time. Because it's carnival time and all that stuff, Alan. You ain't got your carnival outfit? You ain't going to be behind there chasing the girls with the dunka? Shake it on the butt.
Wasn't it Fat Tuesday? That's why I hesitated. I'm glad Dino said something to me because I do believe it's not until – when is that? Is that in March?
Nah, man. Mardi Gras is always –
No, it's
always.
Usually in February. It's just –
It's always in February.
The Tuesday before Ash Wednesday.
When is Ash Wednesday this year?
It's a great question.
Heathens.
You think I would know, right? Like, I'm a good Catholic and I should know these things?
You're not a practicing Catholic.
So it'll be the 15th. I mean, the 13th will be Mardi Gras.
All right. So it's right after the Super Bowl and – during all, oh, that's right. The All Star Game was in New Orleans that time, and that was right. It was,
turned
right around
up.
That whole thing. It was crazy. Yeah.
I call it the groupie circuit. They start at the Super Bowl. They start at the Pro Bowl. Then they go to the Super Bowl. Then they go to the All Star Game. You know what I'm saying? See the same chicks, different outfit.
Is that
everywhere
their tour?
I go, I see the same bros.
That's the groupie tour. Well, anyways, when it comes to games. And I heard Hembo say this, that this is the spread is 1.5. And he was talking about any time that the spread is close, the games are generally like incredibly close, great matches. Like we're not going to have a bad game is what it suggests. What do you think?
Well, I think Shanahan, he has experience in this game, right? Two times he's been a coach in this game in some capacity. Mm-hmm. This is a rematch from 4 years ago.
Yeah, this is who we lost.
Two people remember, and remember, he had the lead, and he was the he was the favorite. He was the one that was coming with the team that was unbeatable and the greatest coordinator, and he got taught a lesson up 10 in the fourth quarter about not being able to finish for the second time because he couldn't finish when he was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
So, you know, let's see what he's learned because, like I said, nobody in this game, in my opinion, has more pressure on them than Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch.
Hmm.
They've won a lot of games. They've been to the show. They got a $900,000 quarterback, which allowed them to go out and spend, you know, all this money on all these other players. They got the one of the highest paid tight ends, the highest paid running back, the highest paid left tackle, one of the highest paid wide receivers, the highest paid defensive end, one of the highest paid defensive tackles, two of them, right? And they traded a first round draft pick for another outside pass rusher. Highest paid middle linebacker and Fred Warner. Like, I mean, what are we talking about, man? How much more stuff you need, bro?
Well, it's interesting. This is for this matchup, and you know, we talk so much about the quarterbacks, like you said, and all the star power that you talked about. And then, of course, it's Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, versus the most famous player in the league right now, which is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, this is equivalent to Nick Foles versus Tom Brady.
Okay, well, you know what? That's a pretty good one. That's pretty good. It's the best story. Purdy is the best story since Kurt Warner when you think about, you know, rags to riches coming out of nowhere kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, very little was expected of Brock Purdy, and now he's at the Super Bowl. So that's a pretty cool story. But I wonder if you factor any of this in because you're big on, like, the whole idea of revenge, right? Like, Kittle, I'll be back, and when I do, it's with a vengeance. You know, I love that when they had him mic'd up. But this is the fourth time now that in the Super Bowl that teams have met twice in a 5-year span. In each of the previous three times, the team that won the first also won the second.
Damn.
Steelers over Cowboys, Cowboys over the Bills, that's in the 90s. And then how about the Giants and the Patriots? Mm. Same thing, where they met twice in a 5-year span and the Giants beat them both times. Is history in that realm going to continue? Do you put any stock in this? Because you usually think, like, you beat us, like, you never forget it, and we come back with a vengeance. But generally, it's like, if we got your number, we got your number.
Yeah, who's your daddy? Like,
you put any stock into this?
And even when they played each other in the regular season since then, Mahomes picks that defense apart. I think it's going to be very similar if Wilkes don't make the necessary adjustments. It's going to be very similar to what we saw in Baltimore. Kelsey's just going to pick them apart. They're going to sit in zone. They won't be able to get to Patrick Mahomes because he can buy time with his legs. And, yeah, I know his tackles suck, and they lead the league in sack, meaning holding penalties. But, you know, against Baltimore, he just found holes in the system. You got to be able to find a way to press him and get him to make, you know, decisions with the ball. You got to light him up, I think. But I think you also have to double Kelsey. You got to be able to put pressure on him and not allow him to sit in zones because you're not in zone. If you are in the zone, it's a matchup zone where you buy him and you say, all right, Rashee Rice, go ahead and make a play. All right, Valdez Scanlon, let's see if you can catch the ball repeatedly, big play after big play. Because I'll put Sardarius Ward, who used to be on this team, I'll put him on you and he should know how to handle you because he's got experience against you guys. You know, and I put the onus on Greenlaw, just like I put it on Raekwon Smith and Fred Warner, to make sure that, you know, if Pacheco want to come in here, he want to run crazy, he get hit crazy.
So the same thing you were saying about what the Ravens should do, you're saying the Niners should do this too because the Ravens really didn't do it.
Yeah, they didn't. They let Kelsey just get 10 catches seemingly all in the first half.
I mean, there were some of them were pretty like they were off script catches. It wasn't like they.
But I don't care. But if you double, routes. You ain't making it unless you Steph Curry.
Okay.
He's the only person I see that repeatedly from yesterday beat double teams.
What a performance that was! All right, how about these numbers? Do you put any stock into this? So as we know, Kansas City is – Legion Stadium's new, but Kansas City plays there regularly because of the division, right?
Mm-hmm.
They own the Raiders, as we know. They haven't lost in that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, it's against the same opponent, and they own them, but still, they're not they walk in that building already with confidence because they've played there four times. They've won all four times pretty comfortably, so it's not like a new place. Like, again, Bart, when you're going to, like, these neutral site type of situations – you tend to feel like, okay, you know, you don't play here much. We don't really know the place. Like, just not the same comfort zone. But for the Chiefs, is that an advantage? San Francisco's only played there once. Now, they have won, They did win that game, but that doesn't matter. That was two years ago.
So what's the moral of the story?
I'm asking you.
The Raiders suck. So they made me feel good about being there too. Like, oh, man, that's our lucky stadium. We never lost here either.
All right. So you put zero into that, the fact that the Chiefs are pretty comfortable in this stadium.
It's neutral site, man. It'd be different if this was like if this was the old Raiders stadium that had part baseball diamond, part football field. You know, that's, you have to learn how to, when you're running on grass and then you get that clay, you got to learn how to be able to get your footing right and understand what you can and can't do when you're trying to cut on clay in football cleats.
I hear you. I absolutely hear you. 800-919-3776 is the number. So is this question being answered after this game? Travis Kelce was asked, are the Chiefs a dynasty?
It's been thrown around a lot, and it being our third in 5 years, I think the number three is a big number in terms of dynasties and things like that. So hopefully we can get this thing, and yeah, you guys can start talking about dynasties. I'm trying to get this third ring, though.
Will you put them in that category? If they win this one, are they in the dynasty category in the NFL?
Everybody that's won three in a short period of time, we've called a dynasty, and it's not been many, but you called it the Patriots was a dynasty when they won those three in a short period of time. Of course, the Dallas Cowboys was a dynasty, and I'm sure when the Steel Curtain did it, they became a dynasty as well. So, like, listen, you got to be equal opportunists. You got to be able to say, all right, well, if this is true for one person, it's true for the other. So, absolutely.
If they win this game, which I think you and I both believe they will, right? You're in the belief that the Chiefs are going to win this game?
Yeah, I'm in the belief.
Yeah,
I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I can't lie.
Okay. Are they still in the beginning stages, or do you feel like
– our window's closing.
Yeah. That's why because
they're getting away with these bum-ass tackles and figuring out a way to protect them and all that type of stuff. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes' salary cap only going to continue to go up. Snead on defense now, because his young defense has been good and they drafted these guys. Eventually now you got to start paying them. And I don't know if they have the money to be able to pay them.
So this is something that we shouldn't start, because we know what comes to this. Can he catch Tom, right? Like, can he catch Montana first, but then can he catch Tom? And that becomes a discussion. And while the Patriots did do it, you said it the other day, they went how many years they go without a championship, right? They
like
did
10.
Get to two. They got to two. They lost them. But it took them a long time to win another one after that.
Yep.
So it might take another iteration of the Chiefs, and it might not be with Travis Kelce. Like, if anything, Mahomes and Kelce, this might be the last Mahomes-Kelce, you think, championship?
Might not be with Andy Reid. Like, come on, man. He's 64 years old.
It's
How
funny
many
you
more
say
of
that.
These he want to go for?
He doesn't sound like he's looking to go anywhere.
Yeah,
right?
But like, listen,
like,
who
he's
knows?
65. It's not like he's in his 70s, like, you know, again, Belichick was and Pete Carroll. 65 still, I think, gives you plenty of time.
I mean, let's take our listeners back to where Andy Reid came from. He lost a son to a drug overdose or something, right?
You're asking me?
Yeah, I think he lost. Remember, he was reprimanded by the judge about spending more time with your kids, and I know he put one on staff, and he jacked up during the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, hit somebody,
right.
And lost his license.
Yeah, Garrett, that's right. It was Garrett.
But he had some troubles before when he was still a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. At what point do you want to, like, spend time with those kids? Because those are the kids that sacrificed, so maybe you weren't there and locked in totally because they were – you know, you're busy doing what you love. So, you know, it's a lot of reasons why a guy that's won three Super Bowls that's going to be a Hall of Fame coach now, especially if he wins three. Also an argument of potentially the only coach that can say, hey, during this time, Andy Reid was just as good of a coach as Bill Belichick. You know, so, I mean, I think if Andy Reid wins, puts him past guys like Tom Landry, puts him past guys like Jimmy Johnson, put some past guys like Bill Walsh.
Mahomes on, will Andy Reid retire?
I'm highly doubtful. He enjoys it every single day. He loves it. And he comes to work with that energy every single day. So it'd be very surprising to me. And I haven't got any sense of that in any sense.
So it doesn't sound like – I mean, you think Mahomes would kind of know, right? If anybody would have a sense, Mahomes would. And Mahomes doesn't see it happening. So – you know, I mean, this is, again, there's still reason to believe that if they win, it is going to be the next dynasty in the NFL. And I hate using that word. You know how I am with dynasty. I feel you have to win three in a row. But in the Super Bowl is so much harder. Like, we haven't had – this will be the first in two decades, the first back-to-back. So it is very difficult to repeat in the NFL. So I will give in the NFL, I will give you dynasty if there's three in a five-year span. I'll give you that because that's really hard to do. Plus, you know, they also have gotten there. You know, it's not like they sucked for 2 years in between. Like, they've been very good every single year. So, you know, is this like the right now thing? It is. But is it sustainable? I think as long as you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, I do think it's sustainable. Like, I still think they're going to be the standard in the NFL for years to come because of who he is and what Andy Reid is as a coach and these two that work together.
It changes fast, man. Like, during the Brady era, we still had the –
well, it wasn't like the Patriots sucked all those years. Yeah, they got to two Super Bowls. They lost to the Giants.
Yeah, we had the Eli era. We had the Ben Roethlisberger era.
Yep.
We had the Baltimore Ravens era where they got two during the time of the Ravens type of thing. So, it's like we had many.
The Ravens got one because the one they got before that
2000.
Was – yeah, that's before Brady.
No, Brady won in 2001.
Right, so before Brady.
Yeah, but it still was doing.
So I don't know. I wouldn't count the Ravens there because Drew Bledsoe was their quarterback.
Yeah, but I'm just still saying. I'm saying two during the time where they were.
Right about the Steelers. Obviously, you know, the Colts got in there. You know, other teams did win.
Then in between there, you had, you know, teams that was just kind of like one and done.
But what I'm saying is the Patriots was still a 12-win team every year. Like, they were still a great team.
Yes. But, you know, how many times are we going to see Dallas, you know, have 12 wins and don't do anything? So you can have 12 wins and have good regular
seasons.
You
can't compare the two. At least you come in with the Chiefs with two or maybe possibly after this year, three championships in your pocket. The fact that the Cowboys didn't win at all and had three straight years of 12-win seasons, that just says you're just a good regular season team, can't get it in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But if I got rings in my pocket already and I'm winning 12 games a year, that means my standard continues to be a great one. It's a standard of excellence that I win every year. You can't win a Super Bowl every year. But it's extremely hard to do.
You're right. And two times, right? He lost to Brady, the GOAT.
Yep.
And he lost to
Joe Burrow.
So who's to say things aren't going to get a hell of a lot tougher now that Jim Harbaugh's there.
In that division. That's the other case to make, too. That's the other case I was going to make to you is when you consider that this year worked out for the Chiefs, didn't it? Because of various things that happened to their opponents. Joe Burrow got hurt.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Anybody that was considered preseason a challenger, right? And then with the Ravens, they had to beat them, and they did on their home field. That's why you tip your cap to what the Chiefs did, because it's not like, well, they just got lucky. No, they had to go into Baltimore and win, and they did. But they also had to. They didn't have to worry about, other contenders that you thought were going to be teams they had to deal with, which included obviously the Jets, included the Bengals, and those two teams were knocked out. But they did still have to beat Buffalo, which they own, and then they had to go into Baltimore and win, which they were able to do, right? Like, so, you know, like, and then, you know, Miami as well with all the injuries they had.
Yeah.
So it still worked out for them, but what's
sometimes
the year where everybody's going to be tough, everybody's going to be good, and it's going to be like really – it should have been a gauntlet this year in the AFC, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but it wasn't because everybody got hurt, right? So, you know, next year, you know, you can add San Diego. You can add the Chargers into that, you know – road you got to get through because they got to see them twice in the regular season. And last time Harbaugh took over a team that was 6-10 the year before, made them 13-3 the following year.
That's right. That is absolutely true. All right, 800-919-3776. On the Super Bowl, we'll get all the calls and the reactions and everything else. But coming up, Woody Johnson had a lot to say about the Jets.
No sound,
though. We have some. But what he said that really made headlines, yes, he just said to reporters, so we'll have to read it to you, but still, strong statements from the Jets owner and an edict already. So the sword of Damocles hangs over Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh after what you hear Woody Johnson had to say. That is coming up. But first, Bart, please tell me about BetMGM.
Yeah, man, there's never been a better time for football fans to bet on the big game with BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and get in on all the action for the biggest Sunday of the football season. Can't be in Vegas for the big game? Lucky you. BetMGM app brings the gridiron action to you with a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props. The BetMGM app is your betting home for the big game. From spectacular catches to a game-winning drive. BetMGM makes every play matter more than ever. Download the app today and discover why BetMGM is the first choice for the final kickoff. The big game is here, and the end zone excitement doesn't get any bigger than this. Get it off the bench and into the huddle with the king of sportsbooks. See BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older to wager and physically present in New York only. Gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So the winners and losers at the NBA trade deadline. The Knicks clearly in the winners column. And yesterday in the K-Show, Michael said, you know who really deserves the credit is Leon Rose.
You got to give Leon Rose his flowers. At the beginning, he made some curious moves, signings that didn't work out. Look at Fournier. But it did work out because it became a placeholder for salary. But it's hard to question what this guy does because everything he's done of late has been magic. Right. Jalen Brunson, DiVincenzo, the trade for OG Anunoby. I mean,
Josh Hart. Last year.
Everything has worked. So I'm not going to second guess this guy. It seems like he and the front office know exactly what they're doing.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. It's a football Friday on 98.7 ESPN, the last one of the season, Bart. Brought to you by Bet365, whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Is this sad? Is it sad it's the last football Friday? Mm-mm. Or are you like, I'm good. Like, it's time to move on.
I'm good, son. I'm ready to watch you work like a dog.
Seasons
I can sit back and put my feet up.
Well, sit back and put your feet up and have a listen to Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, who was at the NFL Awards. And we'll talk more about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And first and foremost, here's the owner talking about just how things can get better with the Jets.
We're doing a lot of different things organizationally to try to get better, make better decisions. You know, we've got to fix our offense. And I think we'll do that. Aaron Rodgers will be back, and we'll protect him, and we'll get the flow and get into it. And defense is pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good, and we'll be better if our offense could do something. You know, that's obvious.
Wow. If our offense could do something.
Take the gray out.
All right. And so how about Aaron Rodgers going down, like what that did to him and the organization?
How painful was that for you, Woody, him going down with all the excitement? There had been so much excitement all
offseason. What does it feel like having your arm chopped off?
Not good, I would say. That.
Yeah, you can have some guys.
Yeah.
Getting your arm chopped off, which is, I guess, literal because you lost that arm. Now, some things that were not being recorded that he said in other conversations is him talking how much that needs to be focused on offense. And one thing that he said when, you know, different things that listed needs for the team in the offseason, you need a backup quarterback. We didn't have one last year. Pretty strong opinion there, right? Pretty, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it sounds like he really still believes in Zach Wilson to develop.
That does not sound like he believes in Zach Wilson at all. But how about, does he believe in Robert Saleh as his head coach? How confident are you in Saleh?
He's going to be a lot better head coach. You know, one thing about head coaches, you get better as you get more experience. And, you know, he's going to concentrate on offense. You know, he's got Jeff to kind of do the defense, and we've got a good special team. It's offense, 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 as I've said. Get the quarterback, get him moving, you know, get the line moving, you know, get the, you know, work on the run and do all that you have to do to win. But you can't do one thing. You have to do it all. It's not just one player.
So he wants Robert Saleh, defensive expert, to focus on the offense and let Ulbrich focus on the defense.
Exactly. Like, set on our style of play, right? Like, listen, this is how we're going to go about business. Just because you're a defensive players know more about what gives offense, I mean, what gives defensive players trouble from an offensive standpoint, because they have to defend against some of the top offenses. I always laugh when people say, well, he's a defensive guy. Hey, bro, well, who's a better expert on offense than defensive guys? Their whole life is about beating offenses and setting up and saying, man, this puts us in a bind. We got to do this.
Right.
So, like, you know, like, to me, that's the biggest – I know just as much, I wouldn't say more, than Dan Orlovsky knows about quarterbacks, because I had to analyze all the great ones and ad nauseum, where a quarterback that's, you know, may not study quarterbacks like I do because they ain't got to go against them because they're a quarterback. I have to study the difference in Michael Vick. How do we get Michael Vick difficulty when you see this type of guy? How do you go with these guys that statues in here? How do you go against guys like Josh Allen? How do you go against guys like Ben Roethlisberger that, you know, if you don't come right, he can swat you by and you still got him wrapped up, tied up the perfect blitz, but he still can get the pass off because you got to tackle his arm. Like, all that type of stuff. So, like, yeah, he needs to focus on that and say, style of play. This is how we're going to play. We're going to run the ball through Breece and we're going to build from there. You know, we need to go out and get these type of offensive linemen because these are the defenses that we face here, and they give this type of lineman difficulty. You got to build your team to win your division first, and then you worry about how you're going to fare against people that are mythical that you may not even have to go against, because who knows if you'll see them in the playoffs or not.
All right, well, and again, another quote that was not we didn't get on audio, but was, again, when he talked with reporters, and Rich Cimini has an entire story on this on ESPN.com. He said this when it comes to the coach and also his general manager, Joe Douglas. The discussions I've had in the last couple of months, they've seen me about as mad as I can be with what's going on, with the offense particularly. And he said, we have all this talent, and we have to deploy talent properly. So I think they all got the message. This is it. This is the time to go. We've got to produce this year. And then he said, we have to do a lot better than 7, meaning wins. Definitely. That sounds like an edict. That sounds like pretty much got to make the playoffs, got to show improvement, or we're going to make changes around here. Does it sound like that to you?
Yeah, duh. Like, I mean, I think, like, I'm happy Woody is saying out loud what we've been saying, you know, all along. It's what you got to do, man. We ain't got time for this crap. Like, yo, like, we too good. Aaron Rodgers not going to be here that long. The time is now. I've been patient. I've stayed out of the way. Now I understand that, you know, Christopher was running it for a little bit while I was in administration, but now I'm back, Jack, and it's time to win. And if we're not going to win, then I'd rather be able to be mad at somebody else than be mad at the same person, because I look at myself like I'm dumb.
It is something that I think is obvious, but it's very rare. Does Woody Johnson ever – like, this is more like a Jerry Jones kind of thing,
well,
right?
Jerry Jones didn't put no mandates on nothing. He said we got to do better.
He did last year. Remember, last year he did this. That's the thing. That's why we all felt like Mike McCarthy was up against it, because Jerry said – remember he used the whole thing about how, like, time – what, he doesn't have a lot of time? Remember that whole thing he did that? So this is – again, Woody doesn't do this. So for him to be as pointed as he was with these statements, it says a lot, does it not?
And now I need Woody to do what he, you know, did once when he was with, when I was with him, and that's go all in. Listen, stack the deck, baby. You got enough young guys.
Oh, that's a good point.
You got enough young guys that are drafted, whether you talk about, you know, the young guys that contribute on this team, whether you talk about Breeze, you talk about Sauce, you talk about Garrett, you talk about Jermaine Johnson. You know, you talk about the additions. Now it's time to stack the deck. Now it's time to go all in. It's F them pick Sunday. You know what I'm saying? If I got to go out there and draft.
Or Thursday.
If I'm going to draft the guy that I want, uh-huh. and then I'm going to go out and get somebody in free agency I want. Like, remember, every year we were bringing somebody in. Mm-hmm. You know, 1 year it was Damon Woody and Alifanica. And the year before that, it was Chris Jenkins and Calvin Pace. Mm-hmm. Then it was myself and Jim Leonard. You know what I'm saying? Then after that, it was Cromartie. And Braylon Edwards, like, mm-hmm. and then Santonio Holmes, bro, stack the deck, bro. Like, hey, stack the deck. You know what I mean? We'll worry about the credit card bill later.
Well, especially because Aaron Rodgers isn't getting any younger. So if you're all in, you got to be all in.
Do what you
right
got to do to get Davante Adams. Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And then go out and spend the rest of the equity on the offensive line.
Well, the last thing regarding Rodgers, and, you know, again, the criticism from the outside. That Aaron Rodgers, and you saw that story that Diana Rossini had, Rodgers has too much say and too much power and influence. You know, he brought in his guys. They listened to everything he said.
They need to start with that. Hang on.
Let me just get to Woody responded to that. So, again, about the criticism of Rodgers' input, and Woody Johnson said that he values it, said he has strong opinions on the way the team is built, and we are digesting exactly how to interpret that. And he said, you need an interpreter a little bit there, but I couldn't be more impressed. And so it's clear, and I don't think, again, we didn't need this quote, but I mean, he didn't back away from it. He didn't deny it. It's clear Aaron Rodgers does have the owner's ear, and you would think of his status, he's probably going to have that ear. I mean, this is not uncommon in the NFL.
Right.
It's just they probably should filter a little bit some of his suggestions. It's not just do everything that he asks because clearly last year it didn't entirely work out. But like I told Garrett Wilson, who, by the way, is going to join us today at 2 o'clock. But as I told Garrett Wilson when we were talking to him, it's like, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers. Like, the guy's seen and done a lot in the league. You know, you understand that when he wants some things, it's just going to go that way. You know, that's simple as that. It's going to go that way. He is going to – his presence was such an impact on this organization, let alone whatever he could have done on the field. We don't even know that part of it yet. But up until the last couple of weeks when he started saying other things on Pat McAfee that pissed a lot of people off, what was anything that Aaron Rodgers did that you found fault with for the first, 12, 14 weeks of the season?
Right.
He did everything pitch perfect.
That's what Woody is saying. Like, listen – yeah, why wouldn't I respect his opinion? Hell, he's the same age as the head coach. You know what I'm saying? He's been around the game just as long.
Yeah, he's done a lot in the game.
Why wouldn't I take his opinion?
Yeah, and you see how players revere him. You see how players respect him. You see around the league what kind of stature he has. So he's here with you. You have his loyalty, and it's up to you to show it back and treat him a little bit different than everybody else because of who he is. But it still has to come to something this season. It has to.
Yeah, they had, like, Aaron Rodgers was coming in like, hey, man, I want this defensive player. Like, oh, Aaron, that's really not your expertise, right? He came over there and he said, hey, man, can you bring my friends along?
Bring my people who know my system and know what I want.
And here's $30 million.
Yeah, right, and I gave you money back to do it. That's a good point. That's always overlooked, the fact that he reworked his deal – to give you back enough money to fill some of the holes that he thought was necessary, and some of the, like you said, that Randall Cobb was not here to play. He was here to teach.
Yes.
Like you said that a couple of times.
He was here to teach McCole Harmon to play.
Yeah, and McCole Harmon, that didn't work out either. Let's take Justin in Tom's River. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my phone call, as always. You know, I had to take, you know, I agree with a lot what you guys were saying, especially Bart when he was talking about the Jets got to be all in this year, because if it doesn't go well, we're up creek anyway in the next couple of years. So I want.
All right. Well, we couldn't use that language. All right. So 800-919-3776. I knew what he meant. Yeah, I knew where he was going. But once again, people were so relaxed.
Dawson? Why didn't he say Dawson's Creek?
Dawson's Creek was a good show.
Eugene Levy would have been proud.
You can be. you can definitely be up Dawson's Creek. Although, that could also have connotations too.
Dawson's Crack.
Yeah, not comfortable with that. But you know what? That's our show, man. We are so chill that I think people just forget and they think we're a podcast.
They're talking to their boys.
right? We have guests that do this. How many times is Rex and who else? We've had like our regular guests who just do it. And they're like, oh, that's right.
Garrett Wilson.
Garrett has done it a few times. Yeah, that's again. It's just
myself.
We're chill. You have definitely done that.
Definitely.
I only do it off the air. 800-919-3776.
You're right next to your own button.
That's right. So we'll continue with your calls. We'll get to again, Super Bowl stuff all day today, including what your best bets will be in this game. Not an easy one to pick. Alex Monaco, our expert, will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. And as we mentioned, Garrett Wilson will be joining us at 2 to talk. He's got a comment on what Woody Johnson said for sure, but also get into some Super Bowl with him as well. You want to talk Knicks? They did lose last night, but of course –
fire the coach. Can't believe they display of what are we doing.
But first, Bart, please tell me about Sansone Auto Mall.
What? Now through President's Day only. President's Day. Visit Sansone Auto Mall for a monumental deal. Payments as low as $159 a month, 0% APR financing, no payments for 90 days on Toyota, Nissan, Hyundai, Kia, Mazda, Jeep, Ram, and more. Over 3,000 new and pre-owned vehicles available at Sansone. All you have to do is visit Sansone Auto Mall. It's on Route 1 in Woodbridge, New Jersey. Or you can give them a call, 1-800-SANSONG, or go to sansongauto.com. On select models with approved credit through primary lender, terms and conditions apply. See dealer for complete details. Offer ends February 29th, 2024. Yes,
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Billy Rock in Long Beach. Try to follow that.
Yeah, that's the Whisper Sister, man. That was pretty cool. I don't know what the hell he was saying, but...
nobody did. that's the best part of it.
First of all, I always love listening to you guys. My favorites on the radio.
Appreciate it.
And... I don't like to call. I'm not going to call to trash Aaron too much. All I want to say is I'm a lifelong Jet fan, and the guy hasn't done anything for me yet. He hasn't won a game as a Jet. So when he does, then I'll maybe consider other things that he talks about. That's really what pisses me off about him. I don't want to take too much of your time. I just also want to thank you for the wonderful radio you guys provide. Peace and love.
I appreciate it,
Billy Rock.
Yeah. And I understand, like, it's like, yeah, he's some a great quarterback, but he hasn't been great for us.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, again, that injury, because there was such a honeymoon through the summer and into August and heading into by September 10th, and we were ready to just fall in love, and then the injury happens.
Full bloom love.
And it was that reminder of, oh, no, we suck again, right? Like, it was a frustration.
Even he can't beat the Jets curse.
You know
Something
what I mean?
It always happens. Brett Favre comes here, number one in the AFC, and he tears his pectoral muscle. Then say he shows it. His little winky.
I mean, say it, but it's the truth. Alex in Orlando. Alex.
Hey, Spartan, I hope you guys are doing good.
So, yeah, no, I just wanted to touch on what you were talking about with Woody Johnson. So, in particular, I mean, this kind of reminds me of when the Brooklyn Nets kind of, I mean, it's not exactly alike, but it's when the Brooklyn Nets kind of handed the franchise over to two players and just let the, you know, the inmates kind of run the asylum in this case. And, I mean, I love Aaron. I love what he's done before. He's a great quarterback, but, you know, just let your football people run the football operation and take care of the rest.
But, Alex, his heart's in the right place, right? He did everything that we thought that he wouldn't do. We thought he was some type of diva, some type of self-evolved. Yeah. He showed up. He stayed with the young guys. He's put in time. Listen, you think he want to go on these mandates with these young players and take them out on the town, take this one to the Met Gala, take this one to the Islanders game, take
you
this
call
one.
Them mandates?
Yeah, like mandate. You know how it is. Like, no, listen, anybody that got kids have already been put on assignment. Well, our kids need to need some friends, so you need to go be friends with his father. Oh, so then y'all can go out and let's take the kids out. Let's go do some macho stuff. Let's teach them how to. Yeah, we all had to be the mandates. So he had to do that with some young kids that's in a big generational gap. He found a way to connect to them. And you hear Garrett Wilson on here every week. He's been everything that they thought he was. He's a great teammate. Now, unfortunately, when you're not playing football and you're talking, people get mad, right? And fortunately for him, he gets paid a big bag to do the McAfee show, so he's contractually obligated to talk. So
any
now you hear his opinion.
Any sacrifice.
Right, and if he's not playing, how much opinion are you going to get on him, his team, when he's not playing? So, of course, it's going to venture to other stuff, which irritates people. So hopefully next year we get more of Aaron Rodgers on the field. Everybody who had a quarterback that got injured was frustrated. Whether you talk about Kirk Cousins twerking on the stage yesterday, trying to do his Backstreet Boy routine with Cam Jordan, or you talk about Joe Burrow. How frustrating is it to be a Joe Burrow fan? He's had two season-ending injuries in 4 years. So, like, you know, we understand the frustration, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt from the Jet fan perspective because he has done so much. And I don't give him so much – flack because his, you know, because of the people that he brought in, because he paid for them. He paid for it with his own money.
I just think you got to see it on the field. And I think not enough fans saw the off the field
you
stuff.
You saw nothing. Yeah.
And it became same old Jets, like you said. The minute the injury happened, it's like, man, he can't even overcome the curse, right? That's to me what it was all about. And it was so easy for us to go to negative town because we're used to living there. Like, that's a reality. Bart, again, you're giving me the player perspective.
We got a residency there.
That's what I'm saying. And you, as a player, players don't think that way. Players don't talk that way. You guys have just a different way of looking at things. But when you're with a franchise that has lost the amount of times the Jets have lost, remember, they are right now in North America, they have the streak.
Yeah.
The longest streak without making a playoff. Yeah. I mean, that is just an embarrassing place to be.
Yes.
And so because of it, and then, of course, you know, 50-odd years now that you haven't won a Super Bowl. So because of all that, the minute things go wrong, we fall into here we go again. Yeah, and that's the problem. And now it's embarrassing because now the owner's putting edicts on people, and he says we didn't have a backup quarterback, and we're like, yeah, we told you that when the guy got hurt. What are we doing, and why was it Trevor Siemian? Like, there's so much that frustrates you as a Jets fan that right now it's very difficult to fall back in love like you did last year when they were chasing him, when I saw him in L.A. Days before he made those famous words that I plan on playing for the Jets. Like, that was all new to the Jets. This guy wants us. But now he's hurt, and who knows what we're going to get. And I don't want all this mayhem. I don't want to be the butt of jokes, no pun intended, anymore. That's what this is about.
See, but they can't run that game on Woody anymore. Oh, no, Tim Boyle is we're okay because you can't repeat. He's not going to fall for that again, right? Because this was an example of Woody believing in the people. He probably heard – Woody probably listened to all the radio like, man, we need a backup. No, we good. We good. Trust me, we good. We won with Zach. Don't worry. And they told him and he believed him. This time he's like, no, we need a better backup. Before we even go there, right? We ain't even thinking about nothing like that. No, we need a good backup quarterback. Yeah, so he ain't going to fall
be part
for that
of,
no
and you could be part of who you want as your backup, but we need a guy that can play.
Yeah,
and don't give me this tip. Tim Boyle's a really good caddy, and he knows film.
Right.
Yeah, but can he throw a football? Answer, no.
Right, so he's saying we putting resources – I don't care what you're talking about. We putting resources in Jacoby Brissett because I'm not going to sit in that booth and watch this type of stuff again.
Yep.
So we getting a better one. Like, whatever you think, I might go out and get some outside help for people to say who we should get, because I don't know if I can trust y'all opinions. So that's what it is.
Yeah.
Let's see if he goes all in.
Well, Tim Boyle knows Nathaniel Hackett's system. Well, that's great. The problem is he couldn't play it.
Exactly.
Like, that's the problem.
It. Yeah. I know math, but I can't go out and build no
math
ship.
Math ain't math.
Yeah, I can't build no ship.
Speaking of math, and we'll give you all the numbers and all of the ways that you can have some extra fun, a little extra cheese on the taco for Super Bowl, as Alex Monaco is going to join us here in just a few minutes for Lunch Money. But first, happy Super Bowl to all who celebrate from FanDuel, America's number one sports book. If you're like me, Super Bowl Sunday is all about scoring the best seat on the couch, grabbing your favorite football snacks, and placing some super bets. It's all about the food and the experience and all that stuff. We're already making the menu. Like, what is your favorite dish? Like, what do you have to have Super Bowl Sunday where you're like sitting down, you're like, no, I need that. Homemade guac, my specialty. Yeah, I'm all in on that. Avocados will have to be perfect. About the game? It's too close of a spread. Do we go money line with this thing? Got to take the under, don't you? So many things to think about. And FanDuel has so many ways for you to end the season with a dub or two or even three. Not only can you bet on who will win Super Bowl 58, but FanDuel also has bets for which players will score a touchdown. I mean, who do you think? I mean, is it Kittles? Kelsey going to get one? Pacheco? How many points will be scored? Like I said, I'm going under. So much more. New customers join today. You'll get $200 in bonus bets if your first bet of $5 or more wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/Allen to sign up. That's FanDuel.com/Allen. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 or older and physically present in New York. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk of the Knicks, making another big move at yesterday's NBA trade deadline, which has been universally praised. Brian Windhorst says with this deal, the Knicks are set up for now and for the future.
The number two seed is important over this next 3 or 4 weeks as they get healthy. So these moves get them an opportunity that they can compete for that number two seed as they get healthier. And I would also say it's important that they have now gone through this season and added Ananobi, Bogdanovich, Burks, and they did not give up a first round pick. And when we get to this summer, those are going to be on offer for a star player.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at noon, it's Bart and Han, and it's only on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.